Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Mike Sweeney.
Hi, good afternoon, or
Hello.
Whatever time you're listening to this.
You don't know when they're listening. You can't see
them. I have
them.
No idea.
Maybe he can see you. I'm Jesse Gaskell, by the way. We are former writers on the Conan show, current friends.
Yes, friends and co-strikers.
Yes.
There's a strike going on.
The strike is still happening. How's your strike going?
It's going. There's just no, it's limbo. There's no updates. There's just a lot of, I wonder what's going to happen and when.
A lot of speculation.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are starting to ask when I'm going to look for another job.
Like, finally.
They want me to work at Trader Joe's.
It's finally time
Something
for you
with
to
some
give
job
up
security.
This foolish dream.
You gave it a good run, Jess.
My parents asked me that even when there wasn't a strike.
Yeah.
My mother was like, why are you doing this?
No, they ask you that for the first 5 years, and then they ask you that, I think, every 15 years after that.
My mother never stopped. When I did stand-up, my mother was like, why are you doing stand-up? You should be a writer. And then I became a writer, and she's like, why are you writing? You should be doing stand-up. So,
she was just giving you material. She knew you needed it.
Yeah, yeah. She just, whatever I did, she wasn't really a big fan of. Which, you know, I have to, hats off to her good taste. So,
well, hey, speaking of funny writers and stand-ups.
Yes.
People can do both sometimes.
Ah, why didn't I tell my mother that?
Well,
speaking
we're talking
of both,
to one today. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. I'm going to listen and learn.
We're joined by Emmy-winning comedian, writer, actor, producer, and of course, longtime friend of the show, Sarah Silverman.
Yes.
Sarah was in so many funny bits on the show, starting in 1993 with her first appearance on Late Night as a stand-up comic. And then she just kept returning for many other funny characters and bits.
Yeah. And it amazes me she was on a 93 because I'm dying to find out whether this was her first time on a late night show. And we'll find out when we talk
to her. Yeah. So here's Sarah Silverman.
Hi, Mike Sweeney.
Hi, Sarah.
Love of my life, fire of my loins.
Please.
Yeah, you two go way back, don't you?
No.
Have we started? Mike Sweeney is the king, was, sorry.
Right, past tense, yes.
I didn't mean was.
For like 3 days.
No.
And then they're like, time for a new king.
So when I started out, he was the MC at the Cellar, like back when the MC was the best comic on the show.
Back when the Cellar meant something.
I know, but
when
like,
there were eight. You know
when there's
Swedish
like,
people in the crowd.
There's like the comics, all the comics come in to see. Like he would MC at the Cellar and all the comics would come in to watch him just MC.
Comics.
Because they wanted
Very
to be
much
introduced.
So. Very much so.
I think we have to go in because he's going to say her name. And
his green Converse and his jeans with the hole in the back pocket. Come on.
Classic.
Right? Come on, ladies. Green
guy.
Converse.
Everyone
I've
had
never
a crush.
Seen you. Yes.
Is that true?
Oh, yes.
Well, no one told me. The guys, some of the guys too.
I'm sure like a Larry Amorose.
Yeah. He never stepped up to the plate.
Is he the one?
Yeah.
I don't think it was Mario Cantone, and I hate to be like the gay comics of those that were out at
right,
that time,
right.
And actually, but I one of them had that they were at their catch. You know this little story?
I don't know.
And I don't know who he said it to. Like, in my mind, I just make it Nick DiPaolo because that would be the best. Or maybe like John Ranfalotti, just like a super like, you know, like, whatever, right. Like alpha-y.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you guess what's in, this is legend. I know,
I
wasn't
oh,
there.
Oh, no, I don't know this story. I don't know this
oh,
story.
Oh, he goes, if you guess what's in my hand, I'll blow you. And he goes, an elephant. And he goes, yeah.
That's great. I would have said a mosquito.
Hope he followed through.
Yeah.
Let's swing this around back to me.
Oh, believe
thank you.
Me.
Oh, well, okay, not- we have a seasoned podcaster in our studio.
Yes.
Longtime friend of the show. Ugh,
hilarious.
I Sarah thought I was Soldier. Looking into the camera, but it was a speaker.
That might be a camera too.
Talented in that you've been writing music, you've been writing lyrics.
Yeah.
You're a hilarious comedian. You're a great
you've
actress.
You've been doing stand-up since birth, basically.
And I happen to know an incredible softball player.
That's right.
Yeah. Which I don't.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you don't get out there. That doesn't get out there enough mm-mm. about you.
You're
so
modern,
I
no.
thought I'd get it out.
I don't know if I still can, but I.
Oh
just,
no, I think you're great, and people should try to recruit you for their teams.
I did play for the state of New Hampshire.
What?
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
That I did not
How?
Know.
Well, wait, in high school.
Okay. I yeah. thought the state government was like, you know what, let's have our own team. So you played in high school for the state championships?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Okay. Wow. You always say it matter
it's
of factly.
It's a small state. But
it is.
It's still really cool.
But it's a very softball competitive state.
I could see that.
I like it. She will not take
New
shit
England
from
is
you.
A lot of, in New England, it's hard to tell the lesbians
right.
from non-lesbians
yes.
because mm-hmm. everyone drives Subarus and Saabs and Volvos.
Wears flannel.
And all the women play sports.
That's mm-hmm. tough for men, you know? And it is
you
hard.
You might have to ask them a question.
It is hard. That is time consuming. You might have to engage in a diet. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Finally, some understanding. I knew you two would be the
this
two to do
this has been very LGBTQAI++. I don't want to say friendly, but like content-y.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what we aim for here. Well, thank you for doing our podcast.
Yes.
This is great.
It's exciting to see Swinky Doodle.
Yeah,
well, and I was going to say, you two were part of the stand-up scene back when you had probably just started performing, Sarah.
Yeah.
You started at age 17. Is that right?
I mean, the first time I did stand-up was in Boston when I was 17. I was at summer school at Boston University and I went up at Stitches.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then I finished high school and then I moved to New York. And I started when I was really like 19.
I'm curious.
Okay.
Good story.
That's when I met you. You were 19.
That's right.
I was like, wow, you're allowed to do this when you're that young? That's fantastic. But did any part of you think, oh, maybe I'll try stand up in Boston or what made you go, I want to go right to New York? Because you were going to school down in New York?
Yeah,
or?
I got okay. into NYU right. and I went there right. for a year.
All right. So did you know Adam Sandler growing? No, you didn't meet him until
I didn't.
NYU. Okay.
He was my sister Laura's age. So they knew each
okay.
other
okay.
when we lived
all
in
right.
Manchester.
Okay. Got it. Manchester.
And then you were pals when you were just starting out in New York at NYU or?
I
no?
really didn't meet him until Saturday Night Live,
oh, wow.
really.
Okay.
But our families were friends.
Like yeah, yeah.
He told a story at Largo. I brought him up at Largo one night a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened with a story about me when I was little that his mother tells. And it's just so crazy to be so old and
right.
hear
yeah.
a story about when you were little that you've never heard.
Yeah, there's still stuff out there.
Yeah, his mother was my nursery school teacher.
Oh,
that's
cute.
Crazy. I love that he sat on that all those.
Yeah, he's been
I'm gonna hold
playing
this
the
back
long game.
I know I'll be in Largo in, you know, 2022.
No, he couldn't believe I had never heard it. He goes, oh, that's like the story my mother always tells about you.
Oh,
I was like, I had no idea.
It's great.
Yeah, you're a legend in their house.
Yeah.
I don't know that, but I mean, you know, she's got a little story.
From when you were in nursery school?
Yeah, yeah. She was scolding a little kid, mm-hmm. you know, just who used a bad word or something. And I must have been, listening in. And then she said I like dipped in and went, those are at home words.
You already had rules for comedy at that point. You can go blue, but only under these circumstances.
Not during playtime.
Yeah. And then your first appearance on Late Night with Conan O'Brien was in 1993.
Oh my gosh.
Which crazy. Was
like the very first year that the show was on the
That's
air.
That's 30 years ago.
It was 30 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Almost, not quite. 29 and change. That's how I look at it. But yeah, he was just, it was the fall of when he went on the air and you were on.
Oh, you're right.
And did stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the first time you did stand up on TV or on a late night show?
Not on TV, but on a late night show. Yeah. Because
right.
mm-hmm. I had done like comic strip
hour.
Live and Evening at the Improv.
Yeah.
And then that was that was my first and only year at Saturday Night Live was Conan's first year. So, of course, I went on, like I was a new featured performer. So I was on his show.
Right.
It was all the synergy.
And I don't remember
synergy.
The first appearance. It wasn't as relaxed as like Conan, like really made my career because that was the first time I ever was recognized or anything on the street. It was just because he would have me on all the time and he would let me do stand-up that wasn't stand-up. Like, he'd let me sit on the couch and set me up for jokes. And it just was it was such a break to get to do it that way. You know?
Yeah. Like, well, because a lot of your jokes are really conversational. And
right.
No, but, and they come from you. So I could see how on the couch would work is kind of perfect. Because that doesn't work great for all comedians. A lot of them, it's a giant adjustment about,
because they just have a monologue that they can't convert into a conversation.
Yeah. And it was just worked so well. It was so awesome. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how, like, and I got so comfortable. I would like try new things that weren't jokes yet, stuff. So it's just, it felt like home-ish feeling,
Because that's a whole different, yeah, obviously from stand-up where it's just, there's a crowd, but it's just you. Now you're adding this extra, but maybe in a way that almost kind of made it easy because you have someone else who's helping pick up any slack or just keeping the ball up in the air.
Well, it keeps, everyone's expectations are lower because you're not watching a stand-up set. You're just watching like a conversation see like big celebrities just have like conversations. They're not. So I had so much in my back pocket because it was basically stand-up that it set me up to win so well,
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes. That's great.
That's so, at that time you were on SNL and you were doing all these late night appearances. And then you were also, I'm assuming, doing a lot of stand-up sets because you were trying out this material. That's just, I'm stunned by how much you were doing at this time. It's a lot.
A lot more energy. I have way less energy.
It's a lot of staying up late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Being on SNL, I would be like,
oh my God. The schedule.
Well, when I started working in Conan, I stopped doing stand-up because we were there till after midnight, like five nights or four nights.
Yeah, of course.
So I just all of a sudden stopped giving. I initially kept putting in schedules for spots and I had to keep canceling them.
Oh,
and I
was like, yeah.
So I just, but also I did the warm-up for Conan. So I'm like, well.
That's your stand-up. That's
better than nothing. But I just, the hours were crazy. So I don't know how you were still doing that. Well, SNL has time off.
I think I did do
stand-up.
I think I just did it on time off and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
SNL sounds
brutal.
It sounds so scary.
I know.
I think I would just be like, after the third day, like, thank you very much for the opportunity. And I enjoy, can I keep this NBC pass?
Not for me.
I'm on my way.
Like right at the beginning, I started getting panic attacks that I had not. And I, like to the point of, a real panic attack where I was like, I'm going to quit the show and move home to New Hampshire and live with my parents. Like, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Thinks about moving in with your parents when they work in SNL. No, but I've heard of other people we know working there. tough guys just like going, oh no, I was going home and crying.
Right. if so, I had time.
Those stories, yeah. I was just like, oh my God, okay. If you're crying.
I had a kind of a good time and I got along with everybody. Yeah. I mean, certainly there was a different time in terms of being a woman.
Right.
Or, yeah.
But,
that was the heyday.
Yeah. That was when America was great.
It's all gone downhill.
You know, like you needed a key to use the women's room. You had to have a key.
Wow.
Because the men couldn't be trusted to not come in and assault you.
Oh my God.
But it's, I think, a much better place now. And I still had a great
time.
Now it's
three locks.
Yeah. Were you also, Jenna, when you were on SNL, were you pitching stuff for yourself there too? I mean, because, you know, there's some people that are writers and performers.
Right. I was a writer and a feature performer. Yeah. So obviously, like everything I wrote, I put a little something in, you know, but I didn't get anything on. One sketch I got on, I was so excited. And like, you get to direct it, you know, it was with John Malkovich and and Mike Myers, because the whole thing was like, if you write for Mike Myers, you know, you should write for Mike Myers because nobody else does. Like, he's a big star.
Right.
And it was so good. It was like a backstage, whatever. It was, most of what I wrote was really, really terrible. But this was pretty good. And then, but no one tells you how things go. So like how things work. So I was so excited. And then I kind of got to direct it. And then we did it in dress. And then we're sitting on Lauren's floor getting notes. And I've already called everyone I know. Like I've got a schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I'm sitting on the floor and John Malkovich sitting in a chair and he looks down and he goes, I'm so sorry, I messed up a line or this or that. And I was like, oh my God, don't worry about it. You're amazing. You'll be great.
You're John Malkovich.
Yeah, you'll get it live. And then Mike Myers goes, Sarah, look at the board. It's cut. It's on the left side of the blah, blah, blah. Like nobody takes you through it and tells you the system. You just learn like that, you know? Yeah. And I was like, you know, and there weren't cell phones or anything. Like I couldn't like tell my friends like, actually, it was
So the next morning, did you just say, it was, you missed it, I guess. You didn't see
No,
it.
I don't know. Everyone kind of figured.
I like that Mike Myers is, that'd be great if that was his job there to like yell at people when their bits are cut.
Well,
it's
he snapped at me, but it was, he probably was frustrated that no one told me how things work, you know, but it's just like you kind of are thrown in to learn to swim. You're thrown in to.
Yeah, that's kind of the norm.
Yeah. I mean, that was how Conan was too.
Yeah.
I tried to help.
But it's like, you can't even, there's no like binder of how the job works or like HR comes and walks you through everything. It's just like.
I think someone tried to make that up and I just crumbled it up and threw it away.
You were at Conan then, right?
I was at Conan, not till 95, early 95.
Oh, why was that Saturday Night Live? It was 93, 94.
Okay.
And we wrote our sketches on legal pads and then gave it to a room of lady typists.
Oh my gosh.
There was a stenographer's room. Oh my God. That's amazing.
Computers existed, but not there yet, you know.
I've never heard of that.
So they typed it on typewriters?
Just a room of ladies.
Wow.
And they were all probably like, oh, would love to be able to write for a show. But instead, I'm just transcribing.
I technically am.
My first day, I was like paired with all the like Harvard kids that were also 22.
Right.
You know, and like, oh, go around. And we ate at the cafeteria and we walked around. And we hung out the whole day. And at the end of the day, they thought I was a typist.
Oh,
they just assumed I was a typist.
Oh my God. Did they hand you their scripts?
It's so odd that it didn't occur to them that I was. Why would they have a typist spend the day with them?
Yeah.
It was very Mad Men a little bit.
You know, I think Conan had a reaction to I guess because maybe he went to Harvard and that whole conception that all late night writers went to Ivy League schools. That
it bothers him?
Well, none of the writers on late night, except for one, I think, went to Harvard.
Because I think Conan is an exception. There's always exceptions, but it's like the Harvard writers, for every Conan, just like funny to the core in his bones, there are like 50 dudes and lady dudes who are just learned like the comedy math.
Right.
They just,
right.
They the algorithm. Just they're smart right. And they learned mm-hmm. comedy like they yep. learn math.
Yes.
Totally.
And they yeah. find incredible success with it, obviously. Yeah.
It's the way to go. Yeah. I mean, that's what we try to
there's merit to it, but it's, podcast. You know, it isn't the same.
Yeah. I mean, and in your case, you know, it wasn't, this is one of those rare careers where having a college degree doesn't necessarily get you anywhere. And sometimes even holds you back because, yeah, you could have been out there performing.
Well, this guy went to law school.
Yeah.
You're pointing to me. I would like the record to reflect your point. Yeah. No, as a trial lawyer for 3 years.
Yeah. But knowledge and information does inform good comedy
it does.
As well.
I felt material. Like law school really fucked me up. Like, because they make you write a certain way. And I was like, this is damaging. I felt law school damaged me in a lot of ways.
Because you're told how to write something as part sort of a formula and
well
it's
I'll
very
shorten
rigid.
It to they're turning you into a lawyer which is the worst
it's not a creative
experience
job.
On earth.
Yeah
not a creative job
yeah.
You know unless you like to lie a lot then you can be creative but no it's just but you know I and I
there's
never
a performance element to
I
it
I never not one part of me ever wanted to do it and that's why I only committed 6 years to it.
Wait, what is your are your parents lawyers or
No, my mother I was kind of a little Stockholm syndrome in some ways with my mother who I lived with and she kind of taught she's like, "Well, you need a degree." And I was like, "Okay." And I didn't move
you did
out
what she said.
I didn't move out till I was 26. So I kind of was living this alternate life. And then when I moved out, I immediately started doing stand-up at night and was a lawyer during the day. And then when I was making $50 a week for my illegal sublet, I had that covered. I had no money saved. I just quit without. And so it was something I never wanted to do. So that's why I almost didn't want to tell people because it wasn't me. Mm. But it was great for dating because if I went out with someone.
Yes, a stable lawyer.
But when I was doing stand-up I'd go on a date and I'd be like, well, they're like, "Oh, you're a lawyer." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I hate it. And I want to be a stand-up comic and I'm working on that." And they'd be like, "Oh, that's great." And then 10 minutes later, they'd be like, "I just can't believe you'd give up the law." And I'd be like,
"That was your
that
way
was
of
it." I was like, "I'm out of here. This is great.
Out.
We'll sleep together a few times, but then I am done. There is no long-term relationship." No, but
they
it
were
was,
all mothering you.
Right, right,
oh
right.
Oh, my God.
So, I was out of that business.
Very interesting.
But there were a lot of ex-lawyers who are comics.
There are.
Yeah.
I think that was a very common thing for people who didn't know what to do after college.
Well,
they just were like, "Oh, I guess I'll go to law," which is
But I still
pathetic.
Think there's, like it's, Sarah was
pathetic.
Saying, there's a math to comedy, too. And I think that there's a little bit of a similar brainedness that happens with lawyers and comedy writers. I don't have evidence for this, but just because I think there's a lot of comedy writers that also are like, "Oh, maybe I could be a lawyer if this ever dries up." Like that's my sort of fallback. It's like, "Oh, maybe I'll go to law school."
Right, right, right.
That's if true. Things don't work out.
Things don't work out, you could probably.
That's I'm going to rev up that degree. The real reason I'm here is to see if either of you need a new will. Because I will do it for you on the side.
Can you legally do that? Because I do need a will.
I need to refresh my will. My will's
you
old.
You have one though? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Good. Let's talk about it after. Just let's step away from this.
I need at least something written down. I'm going to be composted.
I'm happy to work with both of you.
My dad did too.
Really?
Yeah, but we didn't. We incinerated him because it had to. We bought a plus one for my stepmother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of my parents died within 9 days last month.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I appreciate it.
And yet,
it. I
in some ways, that's
down.
The way to do it.
It's true. Like I remember my dad going, "I don't want to live without Janice." And I was like, "Dad, statistically, you won't." They're like, "I didn't know it would really happen. And this isn't the time to say I told you so." But anyway, it's all very sad. But there was a funny point. I can't remember what it is.
Oh, composting.
Yeah.
I want to hear about it.
My dad was like, I actually made a video. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But he was like, "I just want to get thrown in nude into the into the earth and make the trees grow. And then he started singing that, like, the worms crawling, the worms crawling, the worms play pinochle on your snout.
Ooh. I don't know that song. I love that song instantly.
Creepy. Yeah,
pinochle on your snout.
Yeah. Your dad was singing that.
He was, yeah.
It sounds like he was, like, instantly. A little, like, titillating, too, you
it know? It was a pretty great death. Janice's before that was not, but it was... But it was, she wanted like a coffin with like a bell, you know, she went the other way. Like, right. You know, just in case she wasn't dead, like a little string that ring a bell. Oh, anyway, but so we had to, what's it called when you burn?
Cremated.
Yeah.
Cremated.
Well, he was like, oh, Dad, we've got to cremate you because the deal we got on Janice's burial plot so you could be buried together.
Yeah.
He wanted to be buried with her. Mm-hmm. So there's like a plus one at the Jewish cemetery where we buried her. And then like a little while later, they dig like 3 feet and put his thing in. So they're like together. Yeah.
They get to be missionary style.
Yeah. Oh,
forever. That's sweet.
I mean, assuming
you could
he's facing. Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. She might be spooning him, I guess.
It's every style. He's just all scrambled.
The worms are missionary style. Everyone's missionary.
Yeah.
You brought up the worms, not me.
That was really cold and insensitive. No, we were literally singing it with him on his deathbed.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, he watched all of humor, Beef on his deathbed. We watched the first episode together. I went home to sleep and I came back the next morning and I go, hey, you want to watch episode 2 of Beef? He goes, I binged it.
Oh, my God.
That I can't believe you watched Beef without me on your deathbed.
That should have been their Emmy ad campaign. So good, you'll spend your last 90 hours binging it.
Yeah.
Oh, we had too bad that you didn't get that word out for Beef.
I know, for your consideration ads. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes.
Can you really do our wills?
In New York State.
You can?
I think technically, but I can't get paid because I'm retired.
That's even better.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm retired.
Yeah.
Let's go to New York.
Yeah.
You do our wills.
Okay.
For free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll pay to go to fly you to New York if you do my will.
Okay. Yeah. This sounds like win-win.
And then like in our will, we'll leave like a recoup for your, like the cost of the flight.
That's right.
Yes. And a little more. You leave, I don't know if that's legal.
I mean, a little more.
Something to the lawyer who wrote the will, but I'm not
if
making
you
money
outlive
otherwise.
Me, you can have anything you want.
Oh, yeah. If I outlive you, something's gone terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah, we're all going to die.
We're going to die.
That is 100%
fact. We're
going to
have more diarrhea. I mean, I think that's the theme of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the chances all 5 of us are going to die peacefully in our sleep and not suffer?
Right.
Zero.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, close to zero.
Yeah.
Some hopefully will, maybe more than normal, not all of us.
Do you want like a dramatic
death? I would like a quick death.
Yeah.
A quick painless death.
Yeah.
Like hit by a bus or.
You want to get hit by a bus?
I mean, that's only painless if you die instantly.
That's true.
If you don't die instantly, it's incredibly painful.
But the problem is, like, if you get hit by a bus, which is like, oh, cool, no one's going to, they're going to feel like, oh, we can't tell people how she died.
Really?
Would that piss you off?
Oh, what? Because that's embarrassing?
Yeah, or something like that.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Oh, see, I think there's way more embarrassing deaths.
Getting hit by a bus sounds somewhat embarrassing.
Okay.
It means
well,
you
it's not
looking
like slipping
both
in
ways.
The shower.
Slipping in the shower is bad.
I guess
that's
skydiving
worse.
Is cooler sounding.
Skydiving.
Or getting eaten by a shark.
Eaten by a shark. Oh, I just, I swim in the ocean on Friday mornings.
Ooh.
Did you see a shark?
Yeah, it was canceled today. And you know why?
Because it's Shark Week?
No, there's a there's an algae bloom in Santa Monica Bay. But they said that's not harmful to people.
Okay.
But seals are eating fish that have ingested the bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making seals insane. And the seals are attacking swimmers.
Well,
in the
it's
bay.
Like it gives them, makes them like it psychedelic.
Makes them it makes them think they're sharks and they're attacking swimmers.
Oh, crazy.
It makes them think they're sharks.
Well, they're attacking swimmers. That's all I know.
How?
And
How many?
But I haven't seen this in the news anywhere.
Do they have sharp teeth?
Yeah, they have teeth.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like always ripping things apart.
They just seem gummy. I don't know.
No, they have, and they're massive animals.
Yeah.
And they're, it's not in the news anywhere.
They wouldn't kill you, so you'd just be bleeding out.
But I feel like the seal lobby is keep suppressing this story because they're cute and cuddly. They're out there attacking swimmers and no one's talking about it.
That's true.
And I know the three listeners of this podcast, I want to warn them about death, diarrhea, and seals.
Well, no, I love that there's like a drug in the ocean that seals take that makes it roid them up.
Yeah, like they're like probably
they're juicing, basically.
They're probably eating more fish than ever just to get this high and then go after swimmers.
Yeah, maybe they love it.
Yeah.
They're hulking out.
You know what I heard once that is the greatest fun fact?
Yeah.
Elephants, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I heard.
Elephants, we're going to believe it either way.
Elephants see people the way people see dogs. Like they're like, oh my God.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope that's
true.
They
think we're so cute.
Is that true? Oh, I love
that. But then we go up and shoot them.
Well, just Don Jr.
Tusks.
My mic fell out. Well, my favorite elephant videos are ones where like elephants that were in circuses and the circus keeper like kind of wasn't nice to the elephant and
they waited for this one elephant
waited for an opportunity where it was free and like the bad guy was across the ring. There's an outdoor circus and it broke free.
Oh.
Nailed this guy from like, he was like 80 yards away, just ran him down.
Oh my God.
And trampled him.
Elephant revenge videos.
Yeah, I think so.
Mike, this is a video? What are you watching? Faces of Death?
The animal version. That was like
20 years ago. Do you also like when people who own chimpanzees
their
get
faces
mauled?
Get ripped off?
Yeah.
I never knew that about chimps. Like baby chimp, you have to get rid of chimps while they're babies because when they're adults, they're incredibly strong.
They'll rip off your testicles.
Yes.
I've never heard that.
And rip off your face.
And they can rip your fingers off, the entire digit.
I don't think ripping testicles off, ripping a face off is impressive. Testicles, I feel like.
You could do that.
No,
they're already like a weight on a pendulum.
Exactly.
That's like,
I feel like you would pull though, and it would just be like taffy. Like it would never break off.
That's true.
They're like, we're all women and we're like grabbing our crotches.
I know.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Wow. Okay. I don't even know where we go from here.
Let's talk about Conan and my appearances on it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Speaking of death.
Yeah. Career death. So then throughout the 90s, it seems like you just came back all the time to do stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of of bits you did or at during that time?
Oh my gosh, the like Tommy Blatcha, John Glazer years.
Yes. Yeah.
I love the robot having diarrhea and it just sounds like coins.
Yeah. Robot on the toilet. Yes. Not diarrhea or you wouldn't hear the coins, right? It would be
Were solids?
They were solids.
I mean, so it's funny. You think the coins are like just myriad solids. Like
thousand
rabbit poops?
What is diarrhea but like a thousand poops. Solids?
That's sure.
This is a philosophical question.
I mean, really.
I, speaking of diarrhea, and I'm going to jump ahead.
Yes, please.
I always want to speak about diarrhea. No, it's always supposed to do it chronologically, and then you went ahead, and then we're still in the 90s. But I watched your special, which was great. But you said something that—
Speaking of diarrhea, there was a lot of diarrhea special.
No, but you, I just want to talk about your special, which I watched last
night. Yes, we do have to talk about the special. Oh, my God, you're right.
I loved your special.
I loved it, too.
It is so smart, and it's so jammed with jokes, and they're just great jokes. I loved it. It was hilarious. I did too.
I know, and I feel like I've been laugh constipated for a while. Oh. Like I've been watching funny shows, and I'm like, I know that this is funny, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm not laughing out loud. And I laughed out loud so much, and I was like, I'm cured. It's
that makes me so happy.
Oh, it's really
funny. The prunes for my my laughter soul.
How long did it take you to accumulate all those, and each one was just they're all so well worked out and keep going, and the whole show is seamless, and I just marveling at the crafts. I hate to talk about the craftsmanship of it, but it's very impressive. I can't even imagine.
That's amazing to hear because it was so ragtag. Like,
really?
It felt that way to you?
I did like a pilot for HBO and they folded in a special in the contract. And that was before not that I wouldn't want to do it.
Right.
But so it was before the pandemic and then like 3 years of pandemic and like not doing stand up barely. And like, and then going back to it and then Nina Rosenstein from there.
Oh,
like,
Nina, yeah,
yeah. He's like, it's time. You know, I go, shit, let's see what I got. No, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
And so I did everything I had that I liked and timed it, and I had 36 minutes. So I went on the road, and like by the end of that tour, had to record it. So I had to write on the road, which I never usually, I've only done 4 specials in my, but like I never usually do that. I usually like have it. And it was cool though. It was like it was more active. Mm-hmm. You know, it was being more active on tour, like and not just like
traveling, sleeping, travels.
And it came together, you know, because it had to.
Right.
Like, so I guess like I think a lot of comics do that because they go, well, it has to happen, so it will happen. Right. And it really does. You know, but I had never really done it.
Wow. That's really
impressive. Yeah, because it did feel like there were moments of things where I was like, okay, I feel like this is something that she found while she was performing this.
Definitely. And there are a couple things that I would have loved more months on to figure out or to cut and replace with other things. Like
that's funny.
But it just, this is...
You know that. Because watching it, it's the exact opposite. It just seems really polished and
cohesive.
Yeah, that's funny. Of course... You know, whenever you hear anything you do, you do yourself.
It's the like, song was like only just the first 2 lines because I was I've been trying to teach myself piano. Mm-hmm. And last time Todd was here, I have 2 lines of a song and I sang it. And he's like, you should make that into a song for your special. And I was like, yeah. But then I did.
That's
so
great.
I did. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Todd Barry. And I love how you pulled a Marvel movie credits thing, like at the end of the credits.
There's
a little clip of you playing it, which I loved. And then you just kind of
that was the first gig in DC, and my manager had just recorded it, so it was like, Amy's V. So the editor found it and was like, we could put this at the end. You put it there.
That's fun. It's fun when the editor
about this?
It was
really fun working
and
with
it's
him.
A fun surprise for you where you're just like, yes, that's great. I love it.
Well, congrats. I mean, it was an amazing special.
Thank you so much.
Very
it's
funny.
On Max.
It is
Sarah
it's on Max.
And
Max,
someone you love.
It just came out. At the end of May. So it's fresh, new, and exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad you fulfilled your contract.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was thrilled to do it. It's not that, but I was like, probably would have never... I never
it's
think
nice
to do
it. It's nice to be
it.
Forced. It's like you have to have a deadline to do
yes,
things.
Yes, I
a
needed
lot of times.
It.
Yeah.
And like there's a little scene at the beginning was like 2 days before we shot, I was like, there should be something that bookends, you know, to connect the like bad breath or
Oh, because you had already recorded the song.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, it'd be, if it
that's
kind
smart.
Of just has some sort of
So that, it worked. That's great.
Yeah, it was fun. It
yeah.
was fun.
Yeah.
It was cool. And my niece Colleen was the nanny in the.
Oh, that's
oh,
funny.
Oh, yeah.
That line is very funny.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wait, are these her kids? Or what's happened? A lot has happened.
Right. Is our producer, John Skidmore? And then,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
In the headset.
The grown person.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about the aughts. You had a lot of really funny appearances that
I love this.
I know. She's staying on track because she's goddamn she's professional.
Great. She is great.
We had this one killed me, but it's very popular online. You brought your phone and took a photo of Conan's thin lips and tongue and turned it into your vagina.
That's right.
It was.
Okay. That was so fun because when iPhones came out, I realized I could do that. And then I remembered it when I was going on. So I was like, oh, this is perfect.
It's perfect for a
and
outfit.
I was like, and it's like shows a vagina ostensibly.
Right.
But it's just Conan's mouth.
You took a photo of Conan's mouth.
So I was like, you can't, you know, that's.
It's not dirty.
Yeah, but they still pixelated it.
Yeah,
so I took a picture
that's
of his
patriarchy.
Mouth. And then I turned it sideways and put it in front of my crotch. Mm-hmm. And it looked just like not my vagina, but a very thin Irish vagina.
Yes, very uptight vagina.
Oh, you picked the right lips for that.
And but as soon as it went between my legs, it was pixelated. I was so mad, but it still was funny. Obviously, people get.
I was in the studio and it was. I remember it to this day. It was
it just
one
absolutely
of the
brought the house down.
Visuals. It was fantastic.
And even with so the pixelation, funny. They did a good enough job pixelating it that you can still see the sort of outline.
Yeah, and you see it before it goes between my legs, like I think.
Right.
And everything. But
right.
I think I yelled out the word vagina. Yeah, because I'm just like, hey, vagina. I can't remember what it is. And then the next day, he was like, watch the show tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a clip of a woman watching TV, with her baby. And I went, vagina. And this tiny toddler just like turns around and goes, vagina.
And then wouldn't stop saying it, I think. Yeah.
That's great.
That was lovely.
I wonder if they could put that video, re-release it now without it being pixelated.
Do you think the standards have changed?
Yeah. I mean, now that the show's not on TBS anymore.
Right. Oh, right.
Why don't we look into that? Because
the internet doesn't have standards.
Yeah. Why? That it's so,
doesn't have standards.
Well, how about
so
this?
Funny.
It's not a vagina.
Right.
It's a
right.
man's
Thank you. Thank
lips.
You.
So like if I took my top off and over my nipples, I put pasties that were a picture of a man's nipples.
Yeah.
Right.
That should be fine.
Right.
That's a great
Let's do that
experiment.
Too.
Let's try it right now.
Because
a
camera.
Show like the boob meat on TV.
Yes.
It's the nipple.
It is the nipple.
That you can't
That is obscene.
See.
The part that feeds
And yet
life.
That's the part that's the same
don't,
between
yeah.
the two.
Yeah.
I don't, you're right. That's always been incomprehensible.
Do not cross the aureola. That's when everything goes out.
Well, I don't want to see your nipples that badly. No, that's a punchline to one of your jokes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my God. It's such a great joke. It probably is like problematic today, but it shouldn't be.
We
can cut this out.
Please do his joke back to him.
You took a date to see, to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And people in the theater were talking and she goes, tell them to shut up. And he's like, and you're like, I don't want to see your nipples that badly.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that.
You don't remember that joke?
No.
Oh my gosh. That's I know all your, I mean, I remember.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, thank you.
I know.
All right. Well, maybe, I've got one joke. Maybe I'll jump back into stand-up. Hey, do you remember Do the Right Thing, guys?
do people still show nipples?
Pretend I'm young enough to go on a date.
Oh my God. Like the stand-ups that have so much, like I remember this guy coming into town at the Boston Comedy Club in New York and he looked like he had long, like greasy hair and like a dirty trench coat. And he held a long axe, like one of those axes with the long handle. And he goes on stage and he has a crazy look and everyone's like laughing.
Yeah.
And then it dies down and he just goes, how would you like to have me as the next door neighbor? And then he just does like rental car jokes. Like, it's so much for up like front.
Just
a little opening. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know,
so
I know.
Much. It's so much to travel with an axe.
Oh. I know. Well, Conan would always say that. Sometimes guests would come on and go, I think it's really funny, you know, if I come on dressed as, you know, a cop from the 1780s or so they commit to something. They come out for that. It's a quick laugh and then they're out
and
there.
And now you're sitting there in costume. Minutes. Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's a good point.
I know. It's not hard to take a big swing.
But that vagina thing was great. And you know, now when I make out with Conan, I'm like, yeah, it's hetero.
Oh yeah. It's totally like you're going straight. Down on him. I personally loved when you played Hitler on the show. You came out dressed as Hitler because Trump, people were comparing, this was before
this
Trump
2016.
Was elected. Yeah.
He was just starting to run.
I know.
So everyone was stunned, I think, that he was getting traction.
Even, doing well.
And they were trying to knock him out.
And he was getting compared to Hitler a lot. Mm-hmm. And Conan was like, well, you know, we felt like maybe he thought this was a little unfair. So here to defend himself is Adolf Hitler.
Which is a great idea.
I loved it so much. It was so funny. It was not my... Do you know whose idea it was?
It was Todd Levin's. Yeah.
Todd Levin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then that they thought of me.
You were
like,
perfect.
Oh,
you
were so
thought of you.
Happy. Perfect for it.
Todd wrote it. He's like, I want... And I thought Sarah would be great. And I was like, yes. And we were so excited when you said yes. And you, man, I watched again today. You would never know it was written. Like, you're just so great.
So natural.
You're so conversational and great.
Well, not only was it written, I was reading off of cards because I couldn't learn it
That's
all.
That's crazy.
It was like the same night, day. Yeah.
That is crazy because I feel like I'm good at telling when someone. And
no,
it,
yeah.
I thought it was. Wow. I just thought you would absorb it.
It looked improvised. Yeah.
It looked totally improvised. It was
great.
Yeah,
I'm good at reading. I can read and act. You know what I mean? I can pretend it's just like, because I stare off anyway.
You know what? I love the way you're just throwing that off, but that's really hard to do.
It is.
It's, yeah.
Don't, I guess I'm amazing.
Yes, take a compliment.
You were also a very attractive Hitler, I thought. And yes. I was wondering if that's like a really niche, like porn area for people with fetishes.
That's
like,
got to be. Everything
it has
exists.
To be, right? Yeah.
If you can think it up, it's on YouPorn.
Yeah. Have you ever checked to see if... Like, if your image is being used that way?
No. But I did love playing Hitler. That was really fun. That was Todd Levin.
Todd Levin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's such a great writer. Such a funny. And he's the same guy who came up with the human centipede.
That's right. Yeah.
Which you also helped out with because we brought it back. And it's that classic thing of like, well, you know, Hanukkah's coming up. Let's bring it back. And then it's like, how do we feel less
how
ashamed
do we advance this?
About doing the same thing again? Oh, we'll bring out Sarah Silverman to turn on one of the candles. Yay, it's new.
It was.
But
I think it's
hilarious.
A good tradition anyway.
Yeah.
And human centipede is evergreen.
Also
it
a
is.
Tradition.
Yeah. Someone out there is working on it. We've got to make it a reality.
Well, and I just remembered, even as we were talking, I think, didn't we... meet Sarah's sister in Jerusalem when you were there with Conan?
We did. Wait, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I've talked to both of them about it because she was insane. But I totally understand what she was thinking. It's like I got to meet Obama once and like the 20 minutes before I was like, I'm going to bring up Darfur. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And like, it all goes out the window and go like, hi, whatever.
You're the president.
Of course, right. And of course, like, no, don't do that. That's not, just have an experience and go, you know, but she was like, this is we can reach people by, you know, I don't know, but she put way too much pressure on herself and then was just like a lunatic on it, totally scared Conan. And now like when she remembers it, she just wants to die. She's like so embarrassed.
You know what? We were there. It wasn't bad.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't bad at all.
she's very funny and can be very chill, but she just like, I need it. Like, I wish I could have talked to her beforehand. Just like, just have fun. We'll be more like, you know what I mean? Like, just have fun. It's she's so good on those things, but she's usually like rabbi that you call in on the Huffington Post or whatever.
We're on the rooftop right now.
Yeah, we were at the Wailing Wall. Yeah.
It's very exciting to meet a Silverman there.
I know.
Yeah. Well, she's like part of the women of the wall.
Right.
I know. Cause I thought, I was like, this is what a coincidence. This is crazy.
No, she's like helped change policy and stuff.
Wow.
Women.
Do you give your dad or your mother, who do you give the credit for the fact? Or maybe you don't give either
for her like rabbi?
No, but you too, just in terms of being very kind of a conscious of issues and trying to change things.
My mom, when she, I don't know if I was born or she was pregnant with me or whatever, but she was a photographer for the McGovern campaign.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
We're from New Hampshire. So like everything comes through our town first.
Right.
Yes.
So like, and it would be like politicians would like stay at your house to like stay at an average American house. And like there was we worked for a guy named Bruce Babbitt. I'm sure nobody remembers.
Bruce Babbitt, yes.
Yeah, and he like slept in my sister's room. You know, like it's like they show that they're like down home people. And we worked for the Jesse Jackson campaign as a family and everything. And of course, like there were no Jews in our town or anything. And then my English teacher was like, it was after the Jaime Town comment, which is like, we didn't care. Like we still worked for him. Right. Like, you know, whatever.
You didn't live
there
in Jaime
Town. Jews in New York. Right. Who cares? But he goes, well, my family works for Jesse Jackson, the Rainbow Coalition. Sarah, like points me out, Sarah, I'm sure your family doesn't.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, well, no, we actually do. But also it's just like, why point me out? And two, if you think he's anti-Semitic, why are you working
Exactly.
But anyway.
I'm aligned with Jesse. I don't know about you. But anyway, sorry, I digress.
No,
we're talking about your sister,
So Susie, Rabbi Susie.
Rabbi Susie. Yeah, and I mean, you're all funny too. Who do you credit for you all being funny?
Both of my parents were funny. My mom in a more like subdued, covert way.
Mm.
But she loved performing. Like she was like, we thought she was famous growing up. Susie said that once and it's so true. We just like, I don't know. When we were little, she just seemed famous.
Oh my gosh.
She was like a housewife in New Hampshire, but not even. She wore like overalls and no bra and two different color socks, but she just was, she had like this cool confidence, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that got chipped away over time. Of course, sadly.
But she's a woman in the world.
Yeah. And then my dad was just always the funny guy who like all his friends wanted him to make the speeches at the stuff you know, whatever.
Yeah.
My dad did like his own ads on the radio for, he had a clothing store, Crazy Sophie's Factory Outlet, and he was Crazy Donnie.
No.
I have one.
Do those exist still somewhere? Yeah.
I have one on my phone, but it's a going out of business sale, so he's fake crying the whole time. And I'll just play a couple seconds of it because it's literally like 3 minutes long. Like
as commercials.
Radio ads based in New Hampshire must have been a dollar. See if this is.
The
lowest price on the ticket on everything you buy. Savings 80%.
You can hear him like breathe from his nose.
Hurry. Well, there's still a great selection of men, women, and children's clothing because when it's gone, going out of business sale is now in progress. The brand you love, Polyflint, is joined as Cherokee, Oshkosh, Bob Osh Pacific, the quality you've come to expect.
What are you saying?
I heard Oshkosh.
He's like, how can anyone understand a single fucking word he's saying?
But you know what he sounds like? Those, the mattress guy, the killing me, Larry.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
He should have sued that guy. I think he stole his shtick.
Dad stole it from Crazy Eddie.
Oh. Yeah, Dad stole it from Crazy Eddie for sure.
Okay.
Oh.
He was not an original, technically.
Crazy Eddie never said Oshkosh. I know that for a fact. So he wasn't original.
Oh, I love that. But if you just yell, it's like, that's how you.
Were you
proud
of him? Were you a kid when he would, like, would you hear those ads when you're driving around and go, Oh, that's my dad. Or were you like, oh dear God?
Oh, I wouldn't tell
I
my
didn't
friends.
Hear okay. his ads much, but there would be yeah. like contests on radio, yeah. local radio stations to try to sound like him.
Oh my God,
like totally illegible.
So he's a local celeb. He was a celeb too.
Yeah, and my mom too, because my mother was the other way, where she was very. She said like when and where.
Oh.
And she uh-huh. complained at the local movie theater. That she couldn't understand that when she called the recording to hear the movies, she's like, I couldn't understand a word they were saying. They were like, you want to do it? And she's like, well, okay. You know, so that's it. She did those recordings.
Wait, seriously?
I couldn't possibly.
Yeah, so
all
back
right.
when you would call the movie theater and she would say, thank you for calling Bedford Mall Cinemas 1, 2, 3, and 4, where all bargain matinees are only $2 Monday through Saturday. Now playing Annie. Starring Albert Finney and Aileen Quinn.
Oh, that's great. So she did it every week? Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know you were a Nepo baby.
I'm a Nepo baby.
That takes her. Changes everything.
I love that. She sounds so waspy. And then your dad's like, for God's sakes, we're going out of business.
Squash, squash.
Annie.
Annie.
Well, congrats, Sarah, and thank you so much for taking the time to be
I feel
here.
Like
thank
I
you.
We didn't yeah. really stay on Conan
no,
topic.
It's okay. It doesn't
Conan,
matter.
We pay lip service.
He gets enough.
Lip service is all
we talked about his lips being
we
a
did.
Vagina.
We literally gave him lip
what
service.
What more could he want?
Lips are a vagina. I mean, a vagina, first
they
of all,
are.
I learned. It's,
yes.
the, it's labia. The labia. The
yes.
labia.
Vagina.
Right, vagina is what?
The vulva is the outside part, and then the vagina.
Oh, I mean vulva.
Yeah, but the labia are part of the vulva. The
labia is the lips.
The yeah. clitoris is the epiglottis. Come
I know.
On,
I'm
guys.
Trying to
it
get used to this because I, my, you know, my friends who have daughters are like teaching them the anatomical correct
yes.
terms mm-hmm. because we were so used to just like having, and you know, also we were afraid of saying vagina for so long.
There's
so
still
like,
so much shame around it. It's yeah. always mirrored that, by standards and practices is,
right.
is like all our fucked up taboos. And like, you could say balls and dick forever
right,
and we
right.
couldn't
yeah,
say
yeah.
vagina.
Or pussy.
I grew up, my mother was a nurse and my dad was a doctor. So I grew up learning all the Latin terms
the
early. And I always felt like that was a safe
yeah.
oasis.
The labia
to
majora.
To say vagina.
Michael,
labia.
Does your urethra hurt when you urinate?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, stop touching your urethra, Michael.
Do you have maybe your mom's deferens is blocked?
No. What's that?
Oh,
what's the mom's pubis?
That's yeah. Oh, like, I think I just conflated two.
What's mom's deference?
I don't think that exists.
No, that sounds like
no,
something.
Man's deference, I think.
See,
there,
yeah,
that is something,
I don't,
though.
So I'm misremembering.
It's something down
that.
There.
It's something down in the nether.
You're good
regions.
At sounding smart.
Exactly. And people always catch on eventually.
No.
So
I
here
haven't.
I am. Well, with, thank you again.
Yes, and thank you, Sarah.
Vagina.
This was a pleasure. Everybody, watch Sarah's special.
The end.
Thank you to Sarah Silverman for joining us. And just a reminder, Sarah has her own podcast, The Sarah Silverman Podcast. It's a good name. As well as a new comedy special, Sarah Silverman, Someone You Love, available now on Max.
Max. So check both of those out. And you probably already heard her podcast, but excited for a new comedy special and a new listener question.
Yes.
Here it goes. Hi, Jesse and Mike. You've talked a lot about the writing process leading up to things getting cut or making the air, but I'd love to hear more about what happens for the writers after the show airs. Do you do formal postmortems on how things landed, either with all the writers or in a one-on-one with the head writer, talking about what worked or didn't work and discussing what could have been done differently? I'm really just curious what kind of feedback you get or don't get after the show airs. To help you in becoming better writers. Love the pod. Thanks. It's Mike in Brooklyn.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Mike.
That's a good question.
That
I
is
like
a good,
this question.
I like it a lot. What do you think? What's your experience?
Well, I mean, this would have been a great idea for us to have had
yeah.
formal postmortems with the head writer.
It would have made
to
the
get
show
feedback.
It would have made the show a lot better.
Is it too late for us to still do this?
No. Just yell out some bits and we'll talk them down.
So initially the first feedback we'd get would be from the audience, which I think every writer would generally go and stand in the crowd, either, you know, backstage or somewhere.
Right.
So that we could hear the reaction to our bit. And so you'd get feedback that way immediately. And usually for me, it was like the silences were deafening.
Right.
The laughs were fine, but I was only paying attention to what wasn't getting laughs.
Of course.
And never feeling good about anything.
Yeah, because I think when you have a piece on, I think you have your favorite or the bits you think are going to get the biggest laughs. And if that doesn't happen, you're just, like a punch in the gut. Right?
Basically anything short of a standing ovation felt underwhelming.
I've known people like writers and comedians who are kind of delusional or in a good way, actually, like they don't really live or die by what the audience reaction is. But then mm-hmm. I feel like most of the Conan writers over the years were very tuned into what you're saying. How did it go with the audience? And knowing it depended on the piece. There are pieces where you're like, you know what? This isn't going to do great, but we all love it and we're going to do it. And damn the torpedoes. Right.
And then it doesn't matter. And sometimes because we'd always have a writer's meeting usually after the show to talk about the next day's show. And people were generous. It was like, oh, well that, you know, the audience was cold tonight, or they'd blame it on the audience.
Well, now you're talking about another level of feedback. So you see how it does with the audience. And then, yes, I always felt like the biggest approval you could get would be if your fellow writers said they liked something. They would know how to make it genuine because everyone's used to like, oh, yeah, that was great, which, you know, yeah, sure. But
no, yeah, not like mom feedback.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And of course, you know, if Conan love something. But if the audience isn't going to go for it, you might worry, oh God, then you're like ready for none of the writers to mention it either.
Right. Yes. Then you lock yourself in your office. Right.
So I kind of felt like there was a natural feedback system that told you whether something did well or not.
Well, and there was there were still things we could do even after we had recorded the show taping. I mean, at that point, you could still edit things out.
Right.
And so sometimes that would happen too, is you'd go back down to the edit bay.
Right.
And you'd tighten it or, I don't know, that there weren't that many things you could do.
No. A lot of times, like something like 2/3 of it would do great and part of it might lag or, you know, sometimes you're making something topical the day of the show. And you barely get it done in time to air. And then when it airs, you're like, oh, you know what? If I had a little more time and now that the audience reacted, if we'd lose that and that, it'd work better. And so, yeah, you make those edits in post before it airs.
Yeah. And this was for the writing staff. But separately, Conan had a postmortem for every show with the producers. And I think you were often in that as well, or as the head writer.
I was in all, that was like every night after the show, it'd be me and the segment producers and Jeff Ross.
And very rarely, occasionally though, writers would get asked to join that meeting. Usually if they had been part of a remote or something that had done really well, it was kind of like a reward. You'd get to be in there for praise.
Yes. It was an honor if you got the call to come down. It was like, ooh.
Yes.
But it was always for something good. So that was always exciting.
Yeah. But what you said was so true that, I mean, in general, there wasn't too much reflection on anything because it was like, well, we already have to look ahead to tomorrow.
It was,
and then the next day and then the next week.
But I think also all the writers on Conan were very self-aware and very self-regulating in that I think they were their own biggest critics and would analyze how something did and figure out what they could learn or not learn from it. And also from watching everyone else's pieces, you know, I think there's a constant learning process without having a formal meeting about it is, I think you just understood that everyone was watching and always trying to figure out how they could...
How to get better.
How to get better.
Mm-hmm. Which was nice. And it wasn't competitive with each other necessarily. It was just a matter of, oh, I want to be the best writer I can. And I'm just going to keep working towards that.
And I agree. I have heard of stories where it's competitive in a douchey way. Whereas I always felt like we were like, yeah, if you made your fellow writers laugh and Conan laugh and Andy, then that to me was
the highest compliment.
Or if you got compliments in rehearsal and something bombed after that, it's like, who cares?
Right. No, right.
Because that meant the most.
Yeah. The jury of your peers.
Yeah. Yeah. It was trying to surprise. Don't you think it's like trying to surprise? Mm-hmm. So Mike, I think the answer is you're on your own.
Well, great question, Mike. Thank you. And we love these questions. That's me eating, feasting on your questions.
I've seen you eat. I can verify. That's exactly.
So if you have another question for us, you can always give us a call and leave a voicemail at 323-209-1079 or email us at insideconanpod@gmail.com.
And if you like the show, you can support us by rating Inside Conan, an Important Hollywood Podcast, on iTunes and leaving us a review.
That's free. You can do that for free. Asking a question is free too. None of this costs anything. This is all free.
I know. There's no... What kind of economic model is this?
How is this possible? I know. How is this an economy? I don't understand.
Yeah. It's all going to implode, but...
Until then, we still love you.
Inside Conan, an Important Hollywood Podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Our producer is Lisa Burr.
Team Coco's executive producers are Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Nick Liao.
Engineered and mixed by Joanna Samuel.
Our talent bookers are Gina Batista and Paula Davis with assistance from Maddie Ogden.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan or an enemy on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Put on your hat, it's the Conan Show. Try on some spats, you're gonna have a laugh. Give birth to a calf, it's Conan!
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.